Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, September the 28th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 125, the third paragraph. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts, through four paragraphs ending with tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. And the comments will be on all the four paragraphs. And the readers today are the 12 Steps, CJH, and the 12 Traditions, Julie E. And the readers of the text are Julie E. B. and Wendy M. And the share ID for Thursday, September 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 11971. That's 11,971. And for Friday, September 28th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 11,974. That's 11974. And our newcomer greeter at the end will be Melanie C. Okay, let's get going here. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. I will now ask CJH to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is CJH, an Arkansas compulsive eater. The 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, CJH. And I will now ask Julie E. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Julia E. from California, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Mo.
Thank you, Julia E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 125, starting with the third paragraph. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts, reading through 4 paragraphs, ending with tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. And the comments will be on all 4 paragraphs. And I'm now going to ask Julie E. B. to get us started.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in the state of Colorado. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts. They run to extremes. At the beginning of recovery, a man will take, as a rule, one of two directions. He may either plunge into a frantic attempt to get on his feet in business, or he may be so enthralled with his new life that he talks or thinks of little else. In either case, certain family problems will arise. With these, we have had experience galore. We think it dangerous if he rushes headlong at his economic problems. The family will be affected also, pleasantly at first, as they feel their money troubles are about to be solved, then not so pleasantly, as they find themselves neglected. Dad may be tired at night and preoccupied by day. He may take a small interest in the children, and may show irritation when reproved for his delinquencies. If not irritable, he may seem dull and boring, not gay and affectionate as the family would like him to be. Mother may complain of inattention. They are all disappointed and often let him feel it. Beginning with such complaints, a barrier arises. He is straining every nerve to make up for lost time. He is striving to recover fortune and reputation, and feels he is doing very well. Sometimes mother and children don't think so. Having been neglected and misused in the past, they think father owes them more than they are getting. They want him to make a fuss over them. They expect him to give him the nice times they used to have before he drank so much, and to show his contrition for what they suffered. But dad doesn't give freely of himself. Resentment grows. he becomes still less communicative. Sometimes he explodes over a trifle. The family is mystified. They criticize, pointing out how he's falling down on his spiritual program. This sort of thing can be avoided. Both father and the family are mistaken, though each side may have some justification. It is of little use to argue and only makes the impasse worse. The family must realize that dad, though marvelously improved, is still convalescing. They should be thankful he is sober and able to be of this world once more. Let them praise his progress. Let them remember that his drinking wrought all kinds of damage that may take long to repair. If they sense these things, they will not take so seriously his periods of crankiness, depression, or apathy, which will disappear when there's tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. Hi, and as I said, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. I am relating to this in order to share my experience, strength, and hope. My experience was, as I found this vision program, as I worked through the steps, as I moved into steps 10 and 11, 12, I was an enthusiast, and that was one of my character defects and is one I still pray about. Instead of swinging from grandiosity to anxiety or from one thing to another, I tried both directions, plunging into business in a sense, I mean, into repairing my relationships. Also, I plunged into a legal size sheet full of creditors and trying to get them all paid off. I came to realize by paying them off quickly, I was impeding some of the things that my family needed and still taking a self-centered approach. That's what I hear from the alcoholic in dealing with the family in this section, that I, as the addict, am still more likely to be self-centered than the opposite, which is thinking of the needs of others and working for them. I'm still likely to be self-seeking instead of the opposite, which is giving without expecting a return. And I'm still likely to be dishonest instead of the opposite, separating the truth from false. I'm still likely to be afraid instead of the opposite of trusting. And the words that I really pulled out from that way of life that I go back to is at the bottom of the second paragraph. He is straining every nerve to make up for lost time. He is striving to recover fortune and reputation and feels he's doing very well. Well, sure enough, if I take on character defects and think that I am going to remove them, I will be straining and I will be striving. And it's like working a diet instead of surrendering with our food. It's taking our character defects and applying our will to them. And it leaves us always coming up short with resentment growing and explosion and less communicative and expectations that other people might fuss over me. As long as I'm looking at my problems, as the big book said, without looking at them from a different angle, I still have the same problems. And now I'm straining and striving and trying to achieve some other kind of goal. And so this sort of thing can be avoided. The side I have something to do with is the side of the addict. I am mistaken. Even if I have justification, it's little use to argue about it. I need to realize that I need to turn for tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding to my higher power. That is the source, and hope that my family sees it and can benefit as I continue to convalesce. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie E.B. And I'll just remind everybody where we are. We're on page 125, the third paragraph. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts, through four paragraphs, ending with tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. And the comments will be on all the paragraphs. And I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Jan B.
Ann B.
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Debbie F.
Debbie F.
Jenna.
Pat C.
Pat. I got Pat what?
C.
C. And who was the other person?
Jenna. Pardon me.
Jenna.
J-E-N-N-A.
And your last initial?
M.
M. Jenna M.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any more? One more? Two more?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Susan H.
Susan H. All right, Susan, we'll stop with you. Okay, here's what I have. Ann B., Lynn S., Debbie F., Pat C., Jenna M., Lisa J.R., and Susan H. And you guys made it very easy for me this morning. Ann B., you're on, followed by Lynn S.
Good morning. This is actually Jan B. from Colorado.
Yes.
Good morning. Happy Friday. What a blessed day. I can really relate to this so much. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts, and they run to extremes, and that really explains my me to a T. When I first came into program, I was so very excited. I had lost 70 pounds in 6 months. It was a miracle. I could not lose weight. I was just compulsively eating, and just my life was just a mess. Not financially, but just interpersonal relationships and that sort of thing. And so the weight just flew off my body, and which was a fabulous miracle, but it was so, I was so into the extreme. I lived every moment considering program and what I was doing, and it was, I look back on it now, how unhealthy it was. And this book, you know, the paragraph where it says either this happens or this happens, either you get into your business or you get into the recovery business sort of thing. And that's what I did. And thank you, God. I mean, it's all a miracle, but I remember the love and tolerance and spiritual understanding that people that had been in OA for many years that I did service work just gently reminded me that, you know, it was that my way of doing OA is not the only way. And I felt like at that point in time, I had all the answers. And if you didn't believe me, just ask me and I could tell you that I knew the answer. And wow, that was a force to be reckoned with. And I'm so grateful to, you know, have a lot of years, you know, in the program that I can really show some balance and just reflect on my recovery. And I can say that it's so much better having it balanced. But there are the stages that we go through. And love and tolerance is always the answer. And I forgot to start my timer, but I'll just go ahead and wrap up. And say that, you know, all these disharmonies and the extremes are just buffered with love and tolerance and spiritual understanding. And I'm just going to remember that today. And I'm really looking forward to this day because I don't have like a full plate of everything to do. I actually have some time to just reflect and just be with God today a little bit. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful for this program and grateful for the chance to share with you all. And have a great, blessed weekend. And I pass.
Thank you, Jan B. You're just about 3 minutes. Okay, Lynn S., you're next, followed by Debbie F.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And these two lines, many alcoholics are enthusiasts, they run to extremes. It's just, that really struck me, and it's been the way my life was with food, and it's the way my life still is with emotions and currently with shopping. But it just amazes me because I go from the extremes of eating every single thing that wasn't nailed down to dieting to, you know, the last sliver of green bean to make sure that wasn't, you know, too much or too little, to going on some ridiculous liquid protein thing, to just whatever. There was never any balance in my life. And it's the same thing with my emotions. I was either pinging off the ceiling, I was ecstatic, or I was down in the dumps. There was never a balance in emotions, and there was never a balance in my work hours. I either was slothful, and I love that it says faced with real work, we hit procrastination, or I would work 7 days a week and 12 hours a day, and it's amazing how these chapters that we're reading cause me to pause and to reflect and to go back on my life. And it's the same thing as just the same thing as recovery. Like today just happens to be my fourth year of abstinence and recovery and my involvement with Vision. And it just happens, when before I was counting the days, sometimes counting the hours, and, you know, big celebration and it's coming up and, you know, all this stuff. And it's amazing what happens when the transformation starts and your focus goes on other things. Like, this is a daily program of recovery, and it's living life one day at a time and repeating the same thing over and over and over again, but on a daily basis, almost like Groundhog Day, but in a good way. And, you know, the extremes that I'm facing now in other things will be worked out through doing the 12 steps. And I'm just so grateful that there is a way out, and grateful to be where I am today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S., and congratulations on your anniversary. Debbie F., followed by Pat C.
Hi. Debbie F., in California, where am I? And yeah, I'm really grateful to be on the line today and just have certain things jump out at me. And the first thing that jumped out was he feels he is doing very well. And this just struck me in the times that when I wasn't in program, you know, over 7 years ago, and then in recovery, just the self-righteousness of whether it was like, my disease is, you know, this is my thing and you don't understand and whatever, or if, you know, in recovery, like, I'm working a spiritual program, so you got to get on board with me, or, you know, I'm doing great, you know, and but just this feeling of like superiority. And so, you know, I get to come, you know, constantly be reminded to like be one among many, and, you know, I don't have anything figured out, and where that later on in the other, where am I going with this? The other line that came out was he becomes still less communicative, and in that kind of flowing with that, this the learning how to communicate in this program. Well, this program has taught me how to communicate in a more loving, kind, compassionate way, and be, you know, open my mind and my heart, and only in this program have I become a different person in my relationship, and I'm so grateful. And it's not perfect, you know, because learning, you know, when you spend over almost 40 years like not communicating and stuffing down feelings, you know, when I started to learn how to communicate in a healthy way, you know, it would come out sideways, but less sideways than it was before abstinence and recovery. And that's where in the last paragraph where I said periods of crankiness, depression, or apathy, you know, I just got to reflect and go, you know, I'm imperfect, you know, but I don't have that. Those periods, if they come up, are so short now, where they used to feel like it was going to, you know, I was doomed to a depressive life, or, you know, this is just what, you know, the world is giving me, and this apathetic attitude. And now when I have those feelings, I have the steps now to get me back to tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding of myself and others, you know. And I'm just so grateful that you know, this month is like, you know, 7 years, and it's just, I just am so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, you know, coming from a place where not knowing if this would work for me. Thank you. And so thank you all for being part of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie F. Patsy, followed by Jenna M.
Hi, this is Patsy calling from Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic, and this is my first year.
Oh, welcome. Huh.
Yeah, thank you. So the part that jumped out at me was the crankiness and depression will disappear when there is tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. And I've been just having a lot of depression emotion as I'm working through the steps. I'm on step 9. But the wonderful thing about that is that this fellowship has shown me so much support and love and tolerance, and that I can then turn around and show that to others. I go through this pain, that I've been able to share that with my husband also, and let him in on that, and that what my crankiness and depression is about, and then he can support me with love and tolerance. And so it's just a beautiful circle of this recovery. And it definitely wouldn't have happened if I went abstinent and working these steps and with my higher power and doing my 10 steps during the day when my feelings just get so overpowering. So I'm just grateful for Vicious and for you guys doing the service for making this meeting happen. And thank you for making it feel safe to share. So I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Patsy. Thanks for sharing. Jenna M., followed by Lisa J.R.
Hi, this is Jenna from New York State. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you, everyone, for sharing for me. So this is my second time on this meeting, and I don't believe I've shared before. So a few things popped out at me. Though marvelously improved, the father is still convalescing. When I came back to OA this time in May, it was like I was on a pink cloud. So, and everybody else was sort of too, my family. And had nothing, it was not weight related at all. The thing is, after the summer kind of faded, I don't think I realized that, and I think this is maybe what the paragraph says to me, I didn't realize I was still sick, and I don't think my family realized this, and I don't think they're capable of realizing it. And sometimes, you know, families aren't. You know, they think they've got the magic cure in AA, and, oh, well, that was the past, and, you know, this isn't going to be a concurrent problem, an ongoing problem, you know. But then fall came, and then when it says sometimes he explodes over a trifle, well, sometimes he explodes over a trifle. That would happen in the summer. And I think down deep, I knew that I was still sick with a disease of compulsive overeating. this is because I wasn't feeling great all the time, and I didn't still realize I was sick. I thought that everyone in program was perfect, and I thought everything was perfect. You know, I was just, and that goes to the disease of extremes as well. You know, when they say that alcoholics tend to be people of extremes, or whatever your addiction may be, that definitely symbolized me to a T. And so, you know, it seems to have settled into a more concrete way of thinking now, but, you know, it was like the summer was kind of the happiest. It was like a dream world, kind of like the happiest time in my life. And anyway, don't know if I kind of got off topic, but that's how these paragraphs spoke to me and related to my family as well. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Hey, yeah, thank you, Jenna M.
Thank
Lisa
you.
J.R. Yeah, Lisa J.R. followed by Susan H.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for your service, and thanks, everybody, for being on the line. I'm Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered by God's grace today. You know, I love this. You know, sometimes mother and children don't think so. Having been neglected and misused in the past, they think Father owes them more than they are getting. And when I started this serious 12-step recovery, which is what I consider the date of my recovery, because the rest of it was not very helpful. It actually helped me stay in the disease and not face the truth. When I came in here, you know, my disease was very much greed. Greed was a big part of it. If a little was good, more was better. You know, and that segues into shopping and everything else I do, achievement, you name it, you know, more is better. And my husband was badly beaten up emotionally. You know, I had fallen into a lot of character assassination, and, you know, he's got his issues. He wasn't a Lois. He had, you know, he had addictions of his own he wasn't facing. And I knew it wasn't my my place to point them out, but it wasn't until he went to a different meeting to take a family member to an AA meeting that he saw that there was really something to this. So, you know, flash forward a couple of years, he's now in recovery. But, you know, he didn't, at that time when I started this path, he didn't have Al-Anon or Al-Anon. However, I will say that having read these books, these stories with him, the two wives, these chapters, the family afterward, and two employers, he really was able to understand more deeply about what I was going through and less resentful that I was working the program, because now he sees, gee, if the wife isn't working her program, you know, I don't want to be married to her. So work your program. By all means, go and work it. And it's been a work in progress trying to juggle all the balls. But, you know, this makes me a better wife, a better employee, a better everything, a better friend. You know, I'm a better friend. So, yes, it's my top priority outside of my relationship with God. And the two go together miraculously. So I'm in a win-win, and so is my husband. But it's going to take time. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. And before we go to Susan H., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 125, starting with the third paragraph, many alcoholics and enthusiasts, through four paragraphs, ending with tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. And now Susan H.
Good morning, Susan H., compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thanks for everybody on the line. And this is a great few paragraphs, because it really talks about the vacuum that happens with recovery. And, you know, when we take away our vices, we either want to find a new one to help put on that shield, be it whatever it is, work or maybe something new we can become addicted to, or shopping, or everyone named a lot of good ones. So putting on that shield, because underneath is very harmed. It's like taking off a bandage after, you know, a bad fall or a bad injury, and we have to let it heal. And there's good days and there's bad days. And some days, you know, we're very grateful for a bit of progress, and then some days it's a little bit backwards. And what I take from this is asking for support from our families, and many shared about this morning. But for me, asking for support for people around me to let them know, you know, hey, this was an injury, and this isn't going to be, I'm going to run a marathon, you know, a week after I break my ankle. I'm going to have my ankle up a little bit, and it's going to go forward, but it's going to be a little bit slow, and I'm going to have to do a lot of work. And I'm going to have a lot that's going to come up for me in this. And so it's not going to be pretty, but we're going to work through it. And at the end, we have a lot of blessings to look forward to. And so, you know, I think asking for support has been helpful for me, and also asking for some patience in that, and then also not being self-centered in that, you know, the addict that's self-centered that says, well, look at me, I did all this, now everybody ought to be perfect around me, but realizing, oh, wow, there's a lot going on around me, and folks are going through their own things, and it's not about me, and I just have to make sure I take care of myself. And you know, in the analogy of the ankle, put it up and let it heal, and not get on it too quickly, and make sure I'm doing all my work to be on my feet as quickly as I can, and to be of service to others. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you. I'm Susan.
Thank you, Susan H., and I will now open the line up for more people who'd like to share. We have about 15 minutes left, so I could take about five.
This is Penny C. H.
Up, up, up. Two of you came together, one at a time.
Penny C.
Penny C.
CJH.
CJH.
Rachel F.
Rachel F.
Michelle J.
Patty Michelle? C. Was that Michelle?
Michelle J.
Okay, Michelle J. Possibly one more, I'm not sure.
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, we'll start with Penny C, then followed by CJH.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. And reading this chapter, I'm just so glad that we're reading it the way we are, you know, many pages at a time sometimes. That let me see the whole perspective of what my family went through as the family of a compulsive overeater. This chapter is all about, you know, it's a family disease. We hear that all the time. Any addiction affects the whole family, but I didn't know that till I got to OA and realized and listened to other people talk. I didn't think that my overeating and the results of that, the raging, my children didn't know when they got home from school, like a lot of other people say, whether I was going to be cleaning the house and singing or raging at them for something silly. And I didn't know that. So I think this chapter is about the family coming to realize that the addict didn't always realize that the addict thought that that his or her drinking, for us compulsive overeating, you know, only affected them, and the family needs to, as it says here, get into an adjustment and acceptance. Acceptance is the big thing here. And so thank God for programs like Al-Anon, and it's just so unfortunate that, you know, OA does have a sister group called Al-Anon, which over the years I've seen folks try to begin meetings in my area, and they just never panned out, never. And there are actually two telephone meetings. If anyone's interested, you can call me, one on Saturdays and one on Sundays that people can get into. But this chapter, again, just reminds me of what it must have been like for my children. You know, the enthusiast, I saw that right from the first sentence we read today. Oh, I got so enthusiastic about OA meetings that my young daughter at the time, I was a single mom, and my 9-year-old daughter, I was leaving her home with her 13-year-old, 12-year-old sister. She said, Mom, do you really have to go to so many meetings, you know? I need you to help me with my homework. I need you to do this with me. And so, you know, I had to come to an adjustment, and balance was important. So with that, I'm going to pass and thank God for OA and for all of you on the line.
Thank you, Penny C. And CJH, followed by Rachel F. CJ.
Thank you so much. Grateful to be here and so grateful to be reading this today. Really and truly just the great reminders of who I am and what this disease can do. Even though I may not be, you know, picking up the food, I can still wreak havoc. I still have, like this reading, lots of expectations. I hear a lot of expectations on page 126 of how things should look, how things should be, how I should be treated, how, you know, it's all about me and my needs. And I have been a complainer. I have been disappointed. I have strained and pushed, you know, and I heard it. I raged. I've abused. Even in recovery, you know, I've done these things. I have to kind of listen here with a heart that wants to change, you know, with that language of the heart. What's the real message here for me as the compulsive eater? It's, you know, for me, I want to say, okay, I am this person that goes to extremes. Oh, boy. You know, I'm either way up here or I'm way down there. That coming to buoyancy, that balance, you know, where you take things as they come, okay, have a little aggravation. You know, that's just not my personality. That is why I believe, for me, God is blessed with these 12 steps, because when I get out of that buoyancy, easier now with these steps to be able to come back to that buoyancy, just to have a better perspective. When I get, it says here, and I just love this because this is so me, but Dad doesn't give freely of himself. Resentment grows. He becomes still less communicative. Sometimes he explodes over a trifle. You know, these are real clear messages for me that, you know, it's telling me, you need to stop here, CJ. This is no longer how you live your life. You know, this is damage. This is not recovery. This isn't love. This isn't love and service. This is selfishness and self-centeredness. And although, yeah, both father and family may be mistaken, I have no power over what my family thinks or feels. But I do have the power to come back to that place and work the steps on whatever is going on with me. You know, talk to my sponsor. If I have to do a written, you know, it's important to stay in the inventory process, because that is where I get to stay recovered. This isn't a one and done, you know. This is a for the rest of my life kind of thing, one day at a time, of course, and never done perfectly, of course. But this is such a great reminder that I can come back to, it's such a miracle. I can come back to page 120, the top here of 127. I can be in this icky place in 126 and causing all this havoc, but I can come back to 127 and I can get thankful. You know, I can have a thankful heart. Oh, my gosh, for all the beauty my family does for me and the people about me in my life. And remember, my primary purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. That's my primary purpose today. Not the money, not the clean house, not the anything else, but to be of maximum service and to fit myself. That doesn't mean I go along with the show completely, although I'm a lot more pliable and I can go with the flow, but I have to work the program, thank you, to fit myself so that I can be in love and tolerance and a spiritual understanding which goes so beyond just the physical stuff and the feelings. It goes to the truth of the matter, which is life-changing and is here in this program, in the fellowship, and I'm so grateful to be here today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, CJ. Rachel F., followed by Michelle J. Rachel?
Good morning. This is Rachel F. In Colorado, recovering compulsive overeater. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for your service today and everyone on the line. And these paragraphs really spoke to me because I have an obsessive mind. I have a mind that wants to be in control. My mind, when I'm anxious, when I have emotions, my mind takes over and says, well, this is what you need to do to fix it. This is how you're going to make it better. And that is what has led me into the food. It's led me into things that I suppose have been positive in my life as well, but it is always an obsession. An obsession never feels calm. It's always anxiety. It's always confusing to the people around you because they never know what to expect from you. And it's not a good place to live in the obsessive mind. And so when I read these paragraphs, it's a really good reminder to me that I have a lot of things that I want to accomplish. I have a lot of things that in my life need to change, but I also don't actually know what those things are. And I believe that only God can lead me to that. God can lead me to what's my career going to look like in a couple of years from now? What's my relationship with my husband going to look like? What's my relationship with my family going to look like? What is today going to look like? And I have to start small because I'm still recovering. So I have to just start with today and this moment and say, can I let this moment be for God? And can my obsessive mind just kind of go, you know, calm down for a second so that God can give me some direction here? Because when that mind is obsessing, there's no room for God. You know, you can't connect with God. So I think that, you know, God is the answer to that, and that when the mind is obsessing, it can also be a nice reminder to reach out to God, because that means that you're not connected. And so it can be a blessing when the mind is obsessing and you can start to recognize it. You can say, oh, wait, okay, I just need to say, take a second. And, you know, I look forward to how my life with my family is going to improve as I can do that more and more in each moment. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel F. And we have about 5 minutes. So Michelle J. and Patty T., if you each take about 2.5 minutes. Michelle J. Michelle J., press *1 to unmute.
Thank you. This is MJ. I am an overeater from Arkansas, and please forgive my lack of etiquette. I've only been with the program for 2 weeks, and this is my very first online call, and I'm a little nervous.
Welcome.
I think I'm scared to death. I don't know what book you're reading from, but I do have some materials. I've been 3 times to 3 different meetings in 2 weeks. So this chapter that we've read is incredible. And listening to all of you, just the tolerance. I'm going to cry, so bear with me. Tolerance and love and understanding, the balance of emotions, the extremes, everything that you all are sharing. I'm brand new, and I'm ready, and I'm working the program. And in 2 weeks, I've made it to stage step 4. And this is a doozy. I don't have a sponsor. I've got no idea what I'm doing, nor do I know the etiquette yet, but I'm trying to learn as fast as I can. I just want to thank all of you because just listening to the knowing and looking back and reflecting upon years of the imbalance of the emotions and the extremes that I've tried to traverse through life with, and understanding that if it wasn't one thing, it was another. And now it is food, and it has overtaken me this year. And I just want to thank you, and I'm excited for the program, and thank you for letting me share my path.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And stay on the line at the end, and you can introduce yourself as a newcomer with Melanie C. Patty T., give you 2 minutes here.
Hi, thank you, Mo. Everybody, I love all these shares this morning. I'm Patty T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And, you know, these paragraphs just remind me that I am still a compulsive overeater. You know, I may be recovered. I may have steps now. I may have this book and these instructions. But I can revert in a flash that to my disease thinking. And, you know, when it says here, talking about periods of crankiness, depression, or apathy, those were the things I ate to abate. You know, I when I first came into this program, I thought that the food led me to those, to that crankiness, depression, and apathy. But that wasn't true. I already had that thinking, and so I ate to deny all that, right? And I am this person. I am an enthusiast. Oh my goodness! Everything is great or everything is miserable. You know, that's just the nature of my mind. And these steps help me find that middle way, to be able to accept life on life's terms. You know, my disease kept me from having a family. It kept me from being close to my family, my extended family. You know, it really isolated me for many, many years, most of my life, in fact. And just recently I visited extended family down south, and I realized that I have a relationship with them now. When 12 years ago when I came into this program, I didn't. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful every day for my recovery, because I can get up some mornings and I'm really in my disease, but I can do my prayers, I can take the first three steps, and I can get on this phone meeting, and then I can call one of you, and goodness gracious, everything changes.
Fine.
So I'm done. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T., for keeping it short. I appreciate that. And I want to thank all those who shared and those who gave service, CJH, Julie E., Julie E.B., and Wendy M. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Wendy M. please read a vision for you?
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.